And from this early work of Swiss musical history, we now move on to a great modern Swiss thinker's analytical study of one of the most popular Christmas symbols. In 1957, the Zurich journalist Georg Gerster visited Carl Gustav Jung, one of our century's greatest scholars of the human psyche, at his home at Küsnacht on the Lake of Zurich for a conversation which centered on the Christmas tree. Right from the start, Jung expressed amazement at how little we generally know about the real meaning, the symbolism, and the history of our numerous cult usages and customs. How many of us, for example, could explain why here in Switzerland in spring, hares are supposed to lay coloured eggs for us to hide in the garden at Easter and then to search for with so much glee? Most of us are just as hazy about the origin and significance of the Christmas tree. We simply accept that it's an ancient tradition, which it is the duty of a good Christian to observe and to pass on. But what about the tree put up by house builders here in Switzerland, or the maypole, which also belong to our traditional customs? Professor Jung says,
"The very fact of their existence gives us some indication with regard to Christianity's claim on the Christmas tree. At best, it is a case of interpretation in hindsight, as the celebrations of the birth of Christ in general have been grafted onto ancient midwinter nature rites. The tree symbol has an exceedingly venerable history. The numerous shades of meaning that the tree symbol has taken on in the course of its history bear witness to its richness and its vitality. The tree has, just as an example, a cosmic meaning. It is the universal tree, the pillar and axis of the cosmos. Just think of Yggdrasil, the great ash tree of Nordic mythology, a magnificent evergreen tree whose roots hold together the universe. The tree, and in particular the tree top, is the residence of the gods. Thus the Indian village tree and the German village linden or lime tree, round which the villagers assemble in the evenings. They're sitting in the protecting shadow of the gods. But the tree also has a mother figure significance. According to Germanic mythology, the first human beings, as their names Ask and Embla demonstrate, came out of ash and alder trees. This and other concepts are not inventions. They have come to mankind from the earliest of days. It's a kind of primitive revelation. Often the tree is a symbol for the fate of mankind, for man's inner being. In the dream of Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, the king himself was represented by a tree. There's also an old rabbinical idea in which the aging Adam is allowed another glimpse of paradise. In the branches of the withered tree, a child is lying.
But doesn't the Christmas tree as it now exists combine several quite different types of symbols, like the lights, the evergreen of the fir boughs, the decorations and the bestowal of gifts? Professor Jung points out the fact that the decorated and illuminated tree is quite often found also as a familiar symbol outside the context of Christmas, and even in non-Christian observances. For instance, in alchemy. Here there are numerous examples of the illuminated tree, in whose branches the sun, the moon, and the seven planets are represented. Professor Jung goes on to say,
"Now you know what the globes on the Christmas tree mean. They're nothing other than the heavenly bodies, sun, moon, and stars. The Christmas tree is the world tree, but in addition, as the symbolism of alchemy clearly shows, it is a symbol of change, a symbol for the process of self-realization. The initiated alchemist climbs the magic tree, which is at the same time a tree of knowledge, in order to reach the heavens, or the next world, where he can find his real self."
However, the custom of decorating a tree for Christmas is considerably more recent. The first fir trees, especially trimmed for Christmas time, are recorded in Alsace at the beginning of the 17th century. The first illuminated Christmas tree of which we know, a boxwood tree decorated with candles, stood on the gift table of the young Lieselot of the Palatinate. That was in the 1660s, probably at the court of Hanover. The illuminated fir tree didn't come to prominence in the German-speaking countries until the 19th century. At the same time, it spread to Scandinavia, France, and England. Helen of Orléans, a German princess, was responsible for the first illuminated tree in the Tuileries Gardens of Paris. The British prince consort Albert introduced the Christmas tree into Buckingham Palace. To this relative modernity of custom, Jung offers the following argument.
Does this speak against my theory that the Christmas tree, which symbolizes the return of light in the longest and darkest night of the year, reflects archetypal symbolism? I believe not. Quite the opposite, in fact. The approval the Christmas tree finds in many countries today, the speed with which the custom has been adapted, so that most people believe that this practice is actually ages old, all this speaks for its appeal, which is deeply rooted in the soul and in the collective subconscious, and which far outweighs that of the manger, the ox, and the ass.
Asked if he considered the psychological effect of the Christmas tree symbol to be positive, in other words, if he thought Christmas trees were good for the soul, Professor Jung replied,
"Certainly. The archetypes are to a certain extent present in us as little appetites, which, if not fed through the years, begin to kick up a fuss and create disorder. The Roman Catholic Church, for instance, takes this very seriously. It's in the process of trying to revive the old Easter customs, because the abstract Easter greeting, Christ is risen, doesn't satisfy the pictorial appetite that's archetypal in us. In order to satisfy this, nevertheless, we have had recourse to the hair goddess, the fertility symbol. Recently, the Roman Church has also reintroduced an old fire ceremony, with flint and steel, and not with matches. The Easter fire, the original flame, is being lit. For the emotions, a tremendously nourishing procedure. The inner man must be fed, a fact that modern man, in his blind faith in reason, often enough overlooks to his own detriment. The Christmas tree belongs to the range of customs which are food for the soul, nourishment for the inner man."
Oh, Christmas tree, all thy branches. Oh, Christmas tree, all thy branches.
In the second part of our Christmas broadcast, you heard excerpts from an analysis by the great Swiss psychiatrist, researcher and scholar Carl Gustav Jung of the symbolic significance of the Christmas tree. We conclude our Christmas program with two carols and the bells of two great churches of our country. First, we'll hear the bells of the Minster of Basel, followed by Silent Night, as sung by the Men's Choir of Bern, and Engel haben Himmelslieder by the choir boys of St. Paul of Lucerne, and finally, the bells of Notre-Dame Cathedral of Lausanne. And with these Christmas sounds from Switzerland, we wish you happy holidays wherever you are.